Tonight is the night of Haschalos. Tonight is the night, remember the time that we saw a very significant, extraordinarily significant step in HaKadosh Baruch Hu unfolding the Geula for us. There are so many Nekoros that indicate that the Geula might be a process. It's a Gemara in the Sanhedrin Sadiches. It's our Chaim based on Pesukim and Balak. Rabbi Mendel pointed out to me this past Shabbos, that's the Mitziv writes, Veshavik in the Pasuk in Mitzav, Veshavik Yibetzcha, that the Torah is telling us that there may well be steps in the process of Lula, famous the comment of Ibn Yerushalmi, Kachi Gula Asun Shishvala Kima Kima, and 75 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an extraordinary step. The truth is in the Kol HaTorah, which is a sefer by one of the by several of the Talmidei Hagra, the brothers from Shklov. Yeah, they write. It goes back well more than a century, probably close to two centuries ago. They write that the 20th of the Omer is a very significant day in the process of Geula, a Pikabal beyond my ken. They talk about historically, hey, we are in 1812. This goes back 211 years, I think it is, was when the Talmidei Hagra laid the foundation, both figuratively and literally, for the Yishuv Hayashan Yerushalayim. That is, I believe, when they laid the foundation for Beis Medrash Aliyah, which obviously named Baal Shem Hagra. And they saw that as a significant step at the beginning of the Kiyum of various Nevuos, and certainly of the last 100 or so years of Zoche, to watch the unfolding of many, many, countless Nevuos. I can only imagine. Sometimes think about that. I got it at the end of Makos. I would say only three-quarters joking there, that Klal Yisrael has developed a minute to Chazer, the last Agadot in Makos and Erev Pesach. It's a very Geula-appropriate Agadah. But the Gemara speaks of Rabbi Kiva and his Chaverim walking by Harabayas, and they see the terrible Churban, and then they see foxes running around Harabayas, and they're on this, literally they see the words of the Navi Shul and Hilchuba, and they're all distraught, except for Rabbi Kiva, who is strangely happy. And they can't make heads or tails of it. Why are you happy? They say, why are you crying? Why are you crying? What do you see? Terrible Churban. He says, like, kach ani mitzachik. That's exactly what makes me happy. How so? Because he says, I think the easy way to understand the Gemara, he says, I always believed in the words of the Nevi'im, but when you see the even a negative Nevuah, the Moe Nayim, tangibly, so it's easier to conjure up in one's mind what it will be like when the happy Nevuah will be Niskayimu as well. And it's remarkable because the happy Nevuah that he speaks about is one that
Yeshua's
came as famous. You get to see every time you go to Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, there's if you know where to go in the old city, off to the side, there's a playground with benches on the side, and they have that Nevuah as a higher inscribed. Oh, Yeshua's came as famous before Yerushalayim. The older people will be sitting and relaxing in Yerushalayim. And the children were playing. Imamish, can you imagine how Rabbi Kiva would be dancing if he got to see what we take for granted, to see so many Nevuahs that we're so used to the fact that they're in play, we're so used to the fact that Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim is something we take for granted. The quality and quantity of Talmud Torah across the world, and Yerushalayim in particular, is singular in Jewish history for several thousand years at least. The Kibbutz Galus that the Chumash tells us about, the Yishayahu and other Nevi'im expand on, that there were hundreds of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and thousands, and then tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands, and now millions. The exponential growth in the number of Jews over the last century or more, and one after the next. And in a certain sense, Yal Kulam, Navi Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin speaks about. Shayel talks about in the Elena in the Shevet Nechemta. He describes Eretz Yisrael as like this woman who had no children, never had children. And suddenly she turns around, and her table is full of her children. And like she's, where do all these children come from? And that's what Gula is going to be like. Like Eretz Yisrael was barren of her children, and suddenly her children are there. And Nabi Yechezkel says that the Eretz Yisrael is going to wait for her children to come back, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu will tell Yisrael when it's time for the trees of the hills of Eretz Yisrael to become green again, the trees to give fruit again. And I often think that if you can imagine an aerial video of Eretz Yisrael of the last 2,000 years, like a time lapse, like a hyperspeed aerial video to watch 2,000 years over the course of a minute or two. So for the vast majority of the time, it was basically barren and sandy colored. So that's how the Crusaders described it when they came almost 1,000 years ago. They were shocked. Whereas this Eretz Zavos Chol HaVivash that we read about, Mark Twain described this as centuries later, his travelogue, almost identical terminology. Where's the Eretz Zavos Chol HaVivash? Talks about how unusually barren Eretz Yisrael was. And over the course of a matter of decades, suddenly Eretz Yisrael like springs into green. And it's remarkable to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us. It's remarkable to see the positive nevuahs unfolding before our eyes. And that nevuah in particular, the Gemara on top of Tzadi Ches Amnaf, Masach HaSanhedrin, says that is the surest sign of impending Geula. Gemara says, we see that nevuah of Yechezkel, be miskayemas, ein lecha keitz megula mizah. No greater, clearer sign that Geula is on the way, than to see that nevuah that we take for granted. That we take for granted. It's remarkable. Time to have. Part of the avodah is to be able to focus on the goodness and to focus on the Kaddish Baruch, the progress in the process of Geula that Kaddish Baruch is showing us, despite the fact that there is intense pain as well. It's a painful, at times excruciatingly painful, process of birth of this Geula. And part of the avodah also is to simply to not take things for granted. Look at those videos of people saying Shachianu at the time of Kamas Amadina and dancing. So we take these things for granted. We take these matanas from HaKadosh Baruch for granted. We take these, the kiyum of these nevuos, the increasing kiyum of these nevuos for granted. As mentioned a few, there are so many. It's the avodah of tonight and tomorrow is an avodah of Hodah. Like Hanukkah, like Purim, Rosh Hashanah develops very beautifully. The Alpidin, Yom Ha'atzmaut is very much in the same category, the same signon as Hanukkah and Purim. In many ways, the Avoda is similar. Rabbi Effie Unterman showed me just a couple of nights ago. He discovered with a lot of searching, he found the protocols, the minutes of the meeting of Rabbanim Rashiim in 49. I believe the meeting may have taken place at Chol Moed Pesach, I'm not sure, within the first year of Kamas HaMedina. They're trying to figure out some very practical things, trying to figure out how to get enough important enough kosher meat into the country, take care of this and take care of that. They're still staying up the system of the Rabbanot Rashid. And then in the middle they have a discussion about what Yom HaTzimut should look like. It's very fascinating. Talk about halal, with a bracha, without a bracha. Talk about Surah Soda, and they talk about Tanas Lavyonim. Taken by that. Getting stuck is a very, very profound way that the Kol Yisrael gives Hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stuck is a profound part of Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a profound part of Hoda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. we give tzedakah in return. And particularly in the model of Purim, give matanos again. Today is a day to mechazek our benam l'makom. Today is a day to mechazek our benam l'chaveru. In very, very powerful ways. One just final closing thought, and we'll turn to the next haschalah of tonight. From just my own hargasha on Yom HaTzmaut, Rabbi Akiva believed in the nevuas before he saw them as well. But when you're able to see it, it hits you differently. In Adam Shmi and Lavia. So we believe that Munah Shlem, the Yitzias Mitzrayim happened. We still believe that Munah Shlem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us the time of Chanukah, the time of Purim. We celebrate those Yom Tovim. And at the same time, it's an avoda to plug into that. And it's many Bali Musar have said that, you know, that line that we quote from the Mishnah Psachim towards the end of Maggid, that Chai Vadim Liris has asked me, the Yata Atim Yishim in Mitzrayim, that's avoda kasha shev mikdash, harder than eating matzah and eating mar and so forth, is to be able to feel personally connected to Geulos of yesteryear. Yom HaTzmaut Yom Yerushalayim, my mother lived in Mandatory Palestine. Wasn't that long ago. We all know people. Some of us know people who remember Yerushalayim during those 19 years when it was divided. Some of us personally remember Yerushalayim during those 19 years when it was divided. Some of us remember what Eretz Yisrael was like before there was any Jewish sovereignty. And all of us know people who remember that. So it's like a nisim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mataras from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kisses from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have seen, that we know, we have seen people who have seen. It makes it so much more tangible. I find personally that this is incredibly mechazek the rest of the year. To be able to allow Rabbi Akiva, but positively, and here you see Chazdei Hashem and Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisim of the flows. You see such incredible Siyata Deshmaya and Gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael that we can feel and touch, that feels that's so close to us, that enables us to, that gives us power, adds more power to our Pesach, it adds more power to our Shavuos, it adds more power to our Chanukah, to our Purim. Tonight to tomorrow, days of, I would say, very, 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 very powerful avodah. The potential is tremendous. And the shafa of growth today is something that can really spill over to an entire year. So thoughts to carry with us, Mitzvah Shem. And tonight for us personally, as a chabura, is a haschala in terms of our learning. The start of Spring's Man with a new... a new simon, a new pair of simonim, and a new focus. Because Baruch Hashem, earlier in the year, we had a chance Elul to focus on Shemitah's Tzafin. And since then, to over the course of a winter's month, to invest ourselves, to throw ourselves into Kufi Gimel, Kufi Beis, and Bishul Akman Pasach. Now we turn our attention to Kufi Dal and Kufi Tezvav, Shemitah Hashem, over the course of this spring. It gives us the opportunity to dive into the world of the kashrus of beverages and dairy. And we begin the beginning of Kuf Yudalit, and that is the discussion of Shechar Akum. What is the status of the Gemara refers to as beer that one gets from a nachri? So that the story begins on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Masechus Avodah Zarah, a couple of blot earlier than where we were for Bishul Akum and Pasakum, which itself is significant because the Bishul Akum and Pasakum sugyas flowed from a Mishnah of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. You remember that Mishnah had the official list of items that one procures from a nachri, which are Aser Bachila. Remember, there was a series of three Mishnayos towards the end of the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah. The first has a list of items which are even Asr Bahana, and that indicates that they're Avodah Zarah connected. The second is a list of Lamed Beis, the items which are Asr Bachila, but Mutter Bahana, so not Avodah Zarah connected, but Asr for some other reason or another, either because of Kashrus concerns, when Mircham will get to Chalavakim, or to largely concerns of Chasnas. We're worried about too much over-socialization between Jews and non-Jews. Chazal set up a series of obstacles. You have Pasakim, Shemanakim, Vishalakim. And then the third Mishnah is on Lamed Tes Lamed Beis, and that is the Mishnah that has the counterpart to the second Mishnah. Here the items are even Mutar Bachila. So Pasakim and Vishalakim appeared in the Mishnah Lamed Beis, and the Sugyos followed. Here we are earlier. So that's striking. That's because Sheikh Rakam doesn't appear in the Mishnah. That already tells you something. So let's take a look. So what does the Gemara Taka tell us? Here we are, Lavid Alf on Beis Masechas Avodah Zarah. Here we are, Lavid Alf on Beis. Near eight or so lines from the top. Itmar, statement of the Amoroi. Why did they forbid the beer of Nachir? So Tosis right away says, before you get to the answer, a very, very short Tosis, less than a line. It does not appear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a long list of items which are Asir Bachila. Sheikh Akam doesn't appear there, nor does it appear in any Braisa. It does not appear in any literature of the Tanaim. Instead, it's an Itmar. The first reference, apparently, is Itmar means it was said by the Amoraim, the same Shorish. The Shem of Yimei Aho Amoraim Asa Ruhu. Maybe the Amoraim forbade it. Interesting. Maybe, as opposed to what Tosis is driving at. No, maybe the Amoraim forbade it as opposed to what? As opposed to maybe really it was forbidden by the Tanaim, they just not mention it. Maybe there's some other alternative Tosis thing, you know? And you also got to wonder what point is Tosis making. They're probably not merely pointing out a historical curiosity. There's something more going on. Tosis doesn't explain, but as we proceed through the Sugya, and we show them have many potential nafkaminas. And Nafkimin is the halacha, Nafkimin is in terms of language. Rabban the Mitzvah already talked about this. The Dvar Vagav. It's interesting. Right away, our curiosity is piqued. It doesn't appear in the Mishnah, it doesn't appear in any Braisa, so, but the Amoraim are wondering, Mipnei Ma Asru. It happens to also be different Girsos. Some we show up the Gir, some of the Amru. Why do they say that Sheikh Rakam is Asr? And we have the Gersim now Asru, Sheikh Rakam. Okay, so the Amoraim are talking about an Isr and Sheikh Rakam. And what's the rationale? We say we know it's Asr, we're not sure why. The Gemara presents two rationales. The first one is familiar to us from the Sugyas of Bishalakam and Pasakam. Rabbi Bar Chama Amar of Yitzchak, Yishom Chasnus. It's a concern of Chasnus. As with the others, as with, you remember to turn ahead to the top of Lamed Vavamad Beis, and appear Lamed Vavamad Alf, and again, quote, on the top of Lamed Vavamad Beis, there is a long list of items that Chazal forbade because of Chasnus. Al Pitan Vishimna Mishum Yena, Yena Mishum Benoseya. Chazal forbade you to have Pasakim, to have Shemanakim, that is, as we explored earlier, was later rolled back, because the concern of bringing to Yenakim, and Yenakim in turn may lead you to Benosei. So Rabbi Chama says, Sheikh Rakim also is a concern. It allow you to freely drink non-Jewish beer, that may lead to boundary breaking that ultimately a slippery slope that can lead Rahman al-Salam to interdating, to intermarriage. So Chazal forbade Sheikh Rakam to create a a social speed bump. Rav Nachman says, no, totally different. Reason, Mishum, Gilui. Nothing to do with Chasnas. It's not akin to Pasa Akam or Bishul Akam or Yein Akam. This is a different concern. It's a concern about ingredients. But not ingredients in the sense, in the typical kashrut sense, as we'll see when we get to Siman Kuf Tezvav. The concern of Chalav Akam is a concern that maybe there was some non-kosher milk that was introduced. Here it's ingredients from a Sakana perspective. That's a discussion that the Gemara has at some length in Masechas Avodah Zarah and elsewhere. You have Mishnayos and Masechas Trumos about this. But the Chacham were very concerned that if you left certain liquids, if you leave them uncovered for a period of time, maybe a snake came by, took a drink, and left some venom in the beverage. If I'm going to drink that beverage that was Megula, that was left uncovered, Chazal was very concerned about the health implications. So that's going to come up more in Siman Kuf Tes Zayin. Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, two Simanim ahead, is dedicated to issues of danger and food items in particular that are of health concern. We'll get to that in the future. The fish and meat discussion comes up there, and the discussion of the Giloy is going to be negotiated there. And we'll have to discuss whether or not we're concerned about that. Alfi Pashas, we follow the position of Tosos, that the Medino Seinu, we're not worried that we don't really have venomous snakes. I think if you do your scout training in the state of New Jersey, they'll tell you that in theory there are two venomous snakes in New Jersey. I think they're the Eastern Copperhead, the Timber Rattlesnake. They are nowhere near civilization. They're rare even in the wilderness. They're nowhere near civilization. As Satosa says, we're not really concerned. How far that heter or kula of Tosis expands is a good conversation for some other time. But for now, perhaps maybe we get to Kuf Tes Zayin, we'll discuss that. To what extent the changing medical knowledge impact those concerns of Chazal, that will take up for a different time. But for now, Tos the Gemara says that Rav Chama says Sheikh Rakam is a Chasnas problem, and Rav Nachman says it is a safety concern. Okay. So then the Gemara goes on to say, moving down a couple of lines, the Gemara points out we are not worried about Gilui. The Gilui is not the issue. Rav Papa Mefikin le'abava dechanusa v'shasi. Rav Papa, they would bring the beer out to the door of the store, and he'd be willing to drink it. They wouldn't drink it in the store, in the bar, in the place where it was sold. He'd be willing to drink it outside. Rav Achoy, he was more machmir. He wouldn't drink it immediately outside the store. He would only drink it. They would bring it all the way to his house. He would drink it in his home. So the Gemara says, what do these mean? Well, why does it matter where this is happening? Kosher is kosher and treif is treif. As we know, the notion of keeping a kosher home is a sad misconception. A Jew is mechuyev to keep kosher no matter where he is. I mean, it seems like the reverse. He would only drink the beer in his house. Well, only drink treif in his house. It's kosher is treif. So the Gemara says, no, mishum chasmus. They both were assuming that's not a gilui issue. If the issue of gilui doesn't matter where it is, you can't drink it. It's a health concern no matter where it is. Elamai, they're both these later Amoraim were assuming that Sheikh Rakam, like Rav Yitzchak, like Rav Chama, Sheikh Rakam is a concern of chasnus and of chasnus solely. And as a result, they differentiated it's mutter or aster depending on where you're drinking. The whole issue of Sheikh Rakam, they understood is only Sheikha that's manufactured by a Nachri, and that you're drinking it in a Nachri drinking house. That's what Papa says, as long as it's outside, it's mutter. Rav Achoy was more machmir, he said, let's bring it all the way home. Rav Papa says, as long as you're outside of the base HaNachri, that is mutter. So how do we pass it? So there's a Tosfos v'Travayu, where Tosfos Mepnei was incredibly brief, Tosfos and very elusive in terms of what he's driving at. Tosfos v'Travayu raises a whole series of issues and really begins a number of conversations. And the truth is, most of the halachas of Sheikh Rabbi really revolve around the issues that this Tosfos raises. Tosfos begins a whole series of conversations that other Rishonim pick up on. Let's take a look. Utravayu mishum chasnus. Both of these Amoraim were clearly concerned about chasnus alone. Rav Acha was more machmir. It sounds like the Gemara assumed that was an additional personal harchak. That's what it sounds like. Mikoma comes to Tosfos. Let's clarify. Shneim lo yehu shosnim b'deis ha'akum. Both of them agreed that one cannot drink Shechar Akum in the Nachri's home or in the Nachri's drinking house. So Tosfos says that's halacha l'maisa. In kain tzarich lizar shlo yishtos Shechar b'deis ha'akum. The Rapapa of Acha Shalu Basroi Lo Hayu Shamsi. The Gemara began with the early Amoraim of Nachman or Yitzchak. The Gemara ends, or at least this chunk of the Gemara, there's more discussions to come that we'll come back to. But at least the core Sugya here ends with these two Basroi, usually Hilchsuke Basroi. They both agreed. They both agreed that one cannot drink Sheikhar Akum. It's not a gilu problem, but it is a chasus problem, and it is aser beveis ha nachri. It is aser beveis ha nachri. So Tosfos goes on, now that he's sort of established the first issue, which is that there is an iser and why it's aser. It's aser mishum chasus, that's accepted, which means that the chutzal beveis ha nachri is mutter, but beveis ha nachri is aser. Tosfos then lays out three additional issues. First is a question of where, the second is a question of which, and the third is a question of what else. So let's begin as I put the Marmukamos. These Marmukamos cover sort of the core of Sheikhar Akum, which we will likely not exhaust this week, but we'll... will hopefully cover a lot of ground, and perhaps cover most of the sugya of Sheikhar Akum tonight. It'll certainly lay out the framework for next week as well. So let's take a look. The Tosfos raises, the first detail the Tosfos jumps into is a question of where. So let's think about this practically. So you're telling me that I'm not allowed to drink non-Jewish beer. That means I'm not allowed to drink... any of the common brands that have hashkacha, I personally have no interest whatsoever drinking beer. We'll get more to that and to the scope of the issur in the second issur Tosfos raises, which is which. But first, a question of where. Let's say a fellow is going to drink beer. And again, I think it's true, I believe it's true, that until modern times, drinking, whether it was beer or the highly diluted wine that Chazal drank, the Gemara talks about Meziga al Chatlas, that it's a Sugis Narve Psachim. This was recently in Yad Dioma. It's Kubas Chazal. They saw wine as did, and if you do your research, that was common in Greco-Roman times. The wine was usually diluted, and the Gemara speaks like this, that the expectation is that the good wine means that it's been diluted, ideally one part wine to three parts water, which means that obviously alcohol content is pretty minimal. My understanding is that until modern times, drinking beverages with a small amount of alcohol were a whole lot safer than just drinking water, because if you had a small amount of alcohol and you knew it was potable, you knew it was safe to drink, and you knew that you weren't going to Rachmanislan contract dysentery or typhoid or something from drinking the water, because water-based microbes would be killed by the alcohol. So it often was the safest thing to do. The safest way to hydrate yourself was a beer or a diluted wine. The Tosfos wants to know, okay, so a Jew is at home, so he might have his own beer, or he's going to buy beer from the Nachri, but he won't drink it in the Nachri's home. He'll drink it outside. He'll drink it, bring it to his own home. When you're at home, this works well. What do you do when you're on the road? What do you do when you're on the road? Specifically, what do you do when you're taking a multi-day trip and you're spending the night in an inn, in a motel? So how are you going to drink? You don't want to drink the water. It may not be safe. You're not going to avoid drinking entirely. You don't want to dehydrate. So you're going to drink the Nachri's beer. But how are you going to do that? You are Beveis HaNachri. Where else are you drinking? Tosa says, here's the first of the three detail issues that Tosa raises, two lines into Dimas Bo Travayu, Umihu, Hamis Achsein, Beveis HaNachri. If I'm a guest, I'm a patron in the Nachri's hotel, Yachol Liyos Shemutr L'Shloach Be'ir L'Knos Sheikhim in Ha'atom. The Havikim HaBeis HaShal Nachri. Tosa says, well, maybe I could send into town and buy beer from some local non-Jewish brewer in the town that I'm staying. I'm the only Jew in town. I'm passing through. I'm staying in Christopher's home. Or I'm staying in Christopher's inn. So I'll buy beer from Luke and I'll drink it in my room in Christopher's inn. I am Beveis HaNachri. I'm in Christopher's home. Tosa says, maybe that's mutter, Tahavi Kemo Beveso Shal Yisrael. Maybe that's called Beis Yisrael. Maybe that's called Beis Yisrael in Christopher's home. What does Tosa mean? Presumably what they mean is, no.
Your rental.
Yeah. This is my room. This is whether the mamash I have my own room in like in a modern hotel, or I just, you know, I have a bed. It's more of a hostel setup. But this is where I'm located. This is the first model Tosas gives. The first model that Tosas gives is I'll buy from one Nachri. I'm staying in the home of Christopher. I'll buy the beer from a different Nachri. So I'm bringing it out of Luke's home, bringing it to Christopher's home. Christopher's home is sort of mine. It's Kemo Beis Shal Yisrael. And then Tosas thinks maybe you can even push a step further. Maybe Afim Ha'akum Achsenai Shalo Nozen Lo Mishalo Shosem Mishameva. It says maybe even if the Nachri that you're staying with, Christopher, you're staying with Christopher and Christopher himself offers you his beer, you have the right to drink. Number one, Tosas raises a few issues. Number one, Mishameva. You're staying at home, you're not going to drink his beer. This may lead to enmity, and then in Mishameva means a concern of sakana. In other words, if you're gonna rub him the wrong way when you're under his roof, that might not end well.
You just ran from one end of the spectrum to the other. You just went from chasnas to eva, literally, and
that's ironic. It is ironic. That's ironic. Interesting. I actually wonder if that's part of what Tosa is driving at. No. And they're saying even a lower standard of the Eva than maybe other areas of Halacha, if you're motivated by a concern of the Eva, that sort of dampens the... In a situation, in a moment where there's a real concern of Eva, that sort of... you're right. Maybe those situations is less of a concern of Kosmos. If you're on knife's edge with this fellow, say he's probably not, you never know, maybe over a couple of beers, all of a sudden things will get incredibly positive. But that may be part of what Tosas is driving at. But then he goes on to say more. The Lo'asr Mishum Chasnas El Lekaboa Shasiya Bachanus. The concern is when you're drinking in a place meant for drinking. You're in the chanos, you're in the store, you're in the bar, you're in the drinking house. Oh, beregilus lishtos beveis hanachri. Or if you're, it's with some degree of regularity. Aval cry be al mashari, but if it's a cry, then it's totally mutter. And this appears in on the page of Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot going on in the first set. The entire discussion of the core discussion of Sheikh Harakim really is the first three Se'ifim of Kof Yigal. The rest of the Siman is going to be about issues of non-kosher ingredients, which comes up at the end of the sugya. But the core issue of Sheikh Harakim is really the first three Se'ifim. In the midst, we haven't seen enough of Tosus to see the whole Sif. But the Shulchan Aruch already quotes this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines into Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Yudal Fif Aleph, below Asur Elakisha Koveya Atzma Lishtos, Kedarasha Adam Koveya Rashia. You sit down to drink. Nichlas Vesa Akum Rashosa Darach Arai, Ba'akroi Mutter. If it's Arai Ba'akroi, sounds repetitious. The Prichadash thinks that that means two things. Arai means the shalom betrius. I'm not sitting down to drink, I'm just grabbing something quickly. And bakrai means that I don't do this on a regular basis. In other words, tosis is a whole hetter. Was once in a long while, when you're traveling, you can drink barai b'zeis hanachri. It's a combination of those two factors. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, v'chein mi shalom b'zeis ha'akum, chashuv k'beiso, mutl shalom b'ir, l'kno sheikha mei ha'akum. That's the first point that Tosis had made. That if to the extent that I'm buying beer from Luke and bringing it to the place I'm staying at Christopher, that's also, those are two operative hetero. So that's more in the that's what Tosis adds in terms of the question of where. This kula, this heter, this yotzim nakal, I should say, that our papa Rachai had developed, taught us, that chutz l'beis ha'akam is mutter. So number one, if I'm this aksein beis nachri number one, I'm getting sheikh from nachri number two, that's also considered to be beis Israel, because this is where I'm staying and the beer smoke there. And then also, even I am a beis hanachri, Tosis introduces the setia, is barai bakrai, and not really koveya atzmi lishtos, that's Tosis, that's it. Not sitting down to drink. I almost think like you're standing and drinking, and it's something you do irregularly. Something you do rarely, only when you're traveling. So that's also mutter. That's also not considered to be a beis hanachri. So this again, the first of the three details the Tosis raises is a question of where. Defining Beis HaNachri. Sheikh HaRakim is also Beis HaNachri. What constitutes Beis HaNachri? The second issue that Tosis raises is a large one. Tonight, at least see what Tosis has to say. Tosis says, now that I defined Beis HaNachri, I defined the question of where, let's go back to the core and define Sheikha. Define what? Which drinks exactly are forbidden?
Excuse me.
Sure.
On this point.
Please.
You've been using the word beer.
Yes.
To translate Sheikha.
Right.
About whiskey.
Good.
I would think that whiskey is just as common as beer.
Oh, so good. Exactly. So I'm glad you raised that. That's exactly what Tosis is going to raise next.
Is the definition of Sheikh or strong drink?
Okay. So, fantastic. That's exactly what Tosis wants to know. When we say Sheikhar, what do we mean? And a bit of history to keep in mind is that the Amoraim, when they speak about beer, it's typically fruit-based beer. So I think the most common type of beer that the Gemara talks about is date beer. They don't talk much, if at all, about grain-based beer. Bizman Hazeh, and it seems like even Bizman Baratosos, grain-based beer was by far the most common. That raises an interesting question. Uvechlal din Sheikhar, the category of Sheikhar includes, says Tosis, Bein Shecher Shal Tamarim, Bein Shal Tavua. Both date beer and grain beer, barley beer. That was pretty short. That's an incredibly important point. In other words, what Tosis is saying, this other Rishonim unpack more, is saying even though the beer that Chazal had in mind was fruit beer, but they may never have seen or heard or thought of barley beer, but when they forbade Shecharakim, it includes both this and that. Both are included. The Rishonim are going to have plenty to say about that. This half a line, literally half a line of Tosis, is the beginning of a lot of discussion. But let's for now continue in Tosis. Tosis has one more point, which is an interesting one. Fascinating. And it's also representative of a larger set of questions. Tosis says, I just told you that Shecher Akum includes not only the Talmudic date beer, but even our beer. And don't tell me that there's no such thing as Shecher Akum as Malazah, it's a dead letter law, because we don't have what Chazal called Shecher. No, our beer is also included. Tosis says, well, if barley beer is included in Shecher Akum, so that means any beer one's going to buy with Hashkach, unless it's produced under Jewish auspices, is Shecher Akum. I can't drink it B'Veis Hanachri. But I can drink it Chutz L'Veis Hanachri. Take it home. Again, I don't want to say advocate drinking it, but at least it's not a violation of Shecher Akum. Tosis says, well, you know, maybe it's a different issue. Before we move on to Siman Kuf Yudal, let's not forget Siman Kuf Yudal. Beer could have other kashrus issues. For instance, Tosa says, how about Bishalakam? How about Bishalakam? Barley is not edible raw. Barley is not Nechel Kamoshu Chai. Tamarim, and here's a difference between beer B'tkufas Chazal and beer B'zman Hazeh. Beer made from dates, so dates could also be eaten as a raw fruit. Nechel kamosh chuchai. That goes back to the Aleph Beis, 6.5 plot 4. We say nechel kamosh chuchai is not bishlachim susceptible. Okay, so I have a baked apple. The nachri bakes an apple for me, even though it's very elegant, but I could eat the apple raw as well. Nechel kamosh chuchai, no bishlachim problem. But Tosis says, one second. Barley beer, barley isn't edible raw. So forget about it, is it Shecher Akum or not? It should be Bishul Akum. It should always be traded, no matter where it is. No matter where it is. The Tosin says no. No Bishul Akum problem. He says two reasons. Both of them are very significant. Number one, it may not be Nachat Moshu Chai, but on the other hand, it's not Ola Shulch Malach. That's the other major principle. It says beer is not Ola Shulch Malach. Beer is not such a socially significant drink, not a classy drink. You wouldn't serve beer at a state dinner. You wouldn't serve beer at a wedding. So it's not a Bishul Akum problem. If that should change, so then everything has to be rethought. That's interesting. And that's an interesting question in terms of whiskey. Unlike beer, whiskey probably is. Again, not my taste. I do not understand why I wouldn't want to acquire that taste, but plenty of people do, for better or for worse, acquire that taste. And it certainly is. It certainly is served at exceptionally formal functions. So, and if it's made from wheat, from barley, from grain, which is not Nechel Kamo Shuchai, so in the same way as pasta is a Bishul Akum problem, so a whiskey potentially be a Bishul Akum problem as well. The Tosis has a second explanation for why beer is not a Bishul Akum problem, which likely is also relevant to a whiskey, though could be Chaim Yevolashin would not accept that. O yesh tam acher, lahatir ha-shechar, the no Bishul Akum, why? כי היכי דתבוע בטל לגבי המים לאין בריקה שקל מבדברו, החנמי בטל עניין עשר בשל. He says, because there's a beetle going on. This takes us to the next din, Olam Chesam and Alpha, the world of Bishul Akam, which is when you have a blended taruvus of different ingredients, so the susceptibility or non-susceptibility to Bishul Akam is driven by the whichever ingredient is the ikar. The Tosis here says something fascinating. In brachas, they have a discussion about what bracha do you make on beer. Or more pointedly, how come we don't make a mizonos on beer? How can make a shakal on beer? Toshiyeshem achemeshes mini dagan. It contains barley, so that shouldn't that automatically be the ikar? Tosas are different showing with different approaches. Tosas says, they say right here, the water is the ikar. It's a beverage. The water is the ikar. The idea, in other words, the way Rav Shechter presents it is that. It's not the case that chameshes mini dagan are never tafel. If they're functionally tafel, so then they are tafel. It's just that if you have a blend of items and they all have a significant role to play, equally significant role to play, you would say if neither one is functionally tafel to the other, you follow the rove. You don't follow the rove by, if the mir is chameshes mini dagan, so then it does not lose. But if it's actually functionally a tafel, then it's a tafel. The Gemara Mishnah says in Brachas, if I'm eating bread, just I had something overly sweet or overly sharp, and I have a piece of bread just to calm my tongue down, so that's considered to be tafel to the food I had before. I don't have to make a bracha on the bread. As the Tosa says here, when you have beer, the ikar is a water. It's a beverage, the ikar is a water. So the same way the ikar is a water gabi brachas shahakal as opposed to mizonos, the ikar is a water with respect to a bishalakum. Water is not bishalakum susceptible. Water can be, obviously you can drink it uncooked, raw, so to speak. So therefore, beer as a whole is considered to be nechal chai. So those are the two terutzim of Tosas. Why is our barley beer not a bishalakum problem? Why isn't it comprehensively usher, even chutzla based on nachri? Either because it's eino ol shalchem malachim, or because the ikar is the water is nechalcha. Again, afkamina for whiskey. Chaimi Volozhin is not so sure that this svar of water being the ikar should apply to whiskey, because he doesn't see whiskey as a beverage. He sees it as liquid meichel. That's why you make a bird of ashes on a kezias of whiskey. So it's something to think about. Now, but beyond the question of bishalakum, so the third issue that Tosas...
Why are we making the shahakol? Should be, in other words, according to what we just said, shouldn't
the minimum zone? Yes, so it's hard. I'm not sure what Rav Chaim held lemaskan about that. He definitely writes that it's not chama. You can't say that whiskey is chamar medina. Mechay Voloshin is stridently opposed to making kiddush on schnapps. Sometimes you can substitute chamar medina for wine when wine is not available. Mechay Voloshin said, but even by those situations where chamar medina is relevant, he didn't think that yain saraf, that whiskey fit the bill, because there are those who said, if you're making kiddush in Shabbat Revius, no, kazayis is enough for whiskey, because after all, the Taz, I think it's the Taz who writes that you make bar nefashos on kazayis of whiskey. So you see that kazayis is the right cheer. Chaim Loesch said, yeah, that's because Latrina is an ochel nazamashka. The tree is an ochel, not a mashka. It's like soup. It's a liquid ochel, but it's not a beverage. So you wouldn't consider soup to be chamar medina. The ABC is a chamar medina. That has to be a mashka. That's why Chaim Voloshin was strongly opposed to using whiskey for kiddush. Besides the fact that if you have wine available, you would never use chamar medina. But even if you can use chamar, even if you need to use chamar medina, he didn't think a whiskey fit. I'm not sure. You know, whether how far he took that. Did he take the Akadei to say they make him his own? I'm not aware. if you would go that far, so then you would have to rethink the second, whether or not the second teratotosis is relevant to whiskey. Okay, but I would say, sort of stepping, zooming out, I said that Tosis could raise three issues, and it opens a conversation about the three issues that animate most of the discussion we've shown him and post him about Bishalatum. Again, we had said the three detail, well, four issues, if you will. The first issue was Bishal Sheikhar Akim is Asr, and Asr Bisham Chasnas, Asr Bebeis Anachri, Mutter Chutzle Beis Anachri. That was sort of the Yisod Advar. And the three Pratim that followed there were the questions of where, which, and what else. Where was a question of where is it Asr? So we began to see some of that kind of discussion, Shulchan Aruch and the Pri Chadash. And then we tickled the other two. Tosus assumes that Sheikhar Akim includes both Talmudic fruit-based beer as well as contemporary barley beer, which next time we'll come back to see the Rishonim. There's a whole range of opinions on that. Lahakel and Lahachmer. There were Tosus is responding to other Rishonim who thought that barley beer is not included in Sheikhar Akim. And we'll also see if there are Rishonim who thought one should be on the other, to the other extreme, even more machmer than Tosas. Maybe there's more than just, this brings back to David's point. Not only should the Tosas say it's not limited to fruit beer, but barley beer also, maybe you can expand it even beyond barley. How many other liquids might be included? So that's the second question Tosas raises, which beverages are included? How do we define the category of Sheikhar Akim? Tosis gave us one point along the spectrum, which next time we'll see Lahakal Lahachmer. And we'll see there also are a couple of dimensions to this, because as we'll see next time, there are a number of Rishonim who are very expansive. Rosh is expansive, the Arzuru is expansive, Kohen Gadol Da'as Ashri. Then the Rambam is expansive, but we'll see next time, he's sort of expansive and almost like a different dimension. Sort of has a whole different way of thinking about Sheikhar Akim. If you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, sort of track the categories that he's giving, and he lays out the categories of the Yisurei Chasus and Halacha Tes, we'll get to Mishnah next time. He's expanding sort of the second issue of Tosis in a whole different dimension. And then the third issue, the Bishal Akim is I would say, is an example of what else, as in, what are the other halachic issues other than Sheikhar Akim that can come up? The Gemara is going to continue to discuss that on the top of Lamed Beis and Tosfos Beis, on top of Lamed Beis and Lamed Aleph also. There can be other kashrus concerns that come up in dealing with beverages other than Sheikhar Akim. So Tosfos ducked, was able to successfully duck the concern of Bishal Akim when it comes to beer. Other beverages, we might not be so lucky. Another question is also, and the Gemara is really going to raise, on the top of Lamed Beis and Aleph, when are you worried about the introduction of non-kosher ingredients? In other words, this whole concern of Sheikhar Akim is I buy beer with hashgachas, I know all it contains is kosher ingredients, or I live at a period in time when I'm certain that all the beer brewers and non-Jewish brewers in my area are using the same recipe, it includes no non-kosher ingredients. But the Gemara itself says, sometimes there is a concern. There may have been some non-kosher beer not. So Tosis is raising an example of one kosher concern is Bishal Akim. But there could be other concerns. How about a concern of wine? That may bring us to a discussion about sherry casks as well. So this is, as I said, this Tosis really lays out for the branches or the axes of the discussion, which next time we'll come back to see the remainder of the discussion of Sheikhar Akim. We're going to explore more of issue number two in Tosus, the question of which beverages are included, which are not, and again the Rambam's intriguing other dimension. In this context, we showed him are going to raise the Mishnah Lama Tesa Mabez. It talks about a beverage which is kosher, and then there's a sugya memam in days about other beverages which are kosher, yin tapuchim and yin rimonim, apple wine, to figure out why is that not a... What does that tell us about the limits of Sheikhar Akam? What does the discussion about Dvash, about honey, in the Mishnah Lamed Tesla and Beis tell us about the limits of Sheikhar Akam? In that conversation, we'll also come back. The discussion we've shown is incredibly rich. It's going to bring us back to that first Tosas as well. Remember, Tosas had mysteriously said, oh, this isn't from the Tanan, but maybe the Amoran forbade it. Well, my nafkamina. So that actually can be very relevant. Some Rishonim are gonna reference that in terms of, you know, you see here the Tanan said something is mutter. Does that mean it's not Sheikh Rakim? Or does that mean Sheikh Rakim just hadn't been instituted yet? That raises a fascinating consideration. We're also going to see the Gemara further on. The next piece of Gemara, Laman Aleph from the Beis, has a comment which the Rashba, the Taras HaBayis, understood that it's a halachic statement that sometimes Beis HaNachri doesn't apply. Sometimes Sheikh Rakim is always awesome. So that's a significant din. And maybe we'll also have a chance to see the way the Rashba thinks about Sheikh Rakim as a whole. He seems to have ironically very original way of thinking about Sheikh Rakim as a whole. So a lot going on in the sugya. Baruch Hashem, we more than got our feet wet. We laid out a lot of the major issues. But next time we'll see more of the discussion we've shown him, particularly around which beverages, and what that may have to say about coffee houses and drinking Coke. And Richard, next time also have a chance to see how this plays out in Shulchan Aruch, see from Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Thank you so much.